it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
You are talking absolute rubbish.
Absolute rubbish.
As long as I say we can persuade Willie to stay in Ireland, we'll stay in England.
GSI, get stuck in.
And here's a new steeplechasing star. It's Gallop Andersson, who gallops to glory in the Gold Cup.
Oh, and he's off. He's not. He's back on. He's off. Well, oh.
You're calling out prices. Bookmakers' prices on this channel, right?
Yep.
You couldn't have two bananas to a banana with the bookmakers.
Jumped in like a bag of hammers.
All you do is talk rubbish on this.
Quarto star, can he be the king of kings? Quarto star for King George V. Quarto star, a sporting sensation here.
The racing is under such scrutiny.
If you don't like racing, go and watch Peppa Pig.
Welcome to the Final Furlong Podcast. It is great to have your company as we talk about some of the big horses and the key races from the last few days. As usual, Katie Young, George Gorman, alongside me, Emma Kennedy. I will delve straight into Lingfield, possibly the emergence of Britain's leading contender for the Gold Cup with Lampress back with the bang. George Gorman, what did you make of Venetia Williams' horse? And is he now Britain's leading contender for the Gold Cup in your view?
He did everything you could want him to do. I think Protectorat looked like he was sort of work himself back into a bit of form as well. If you were to take that off the basis of Protectorat's last couple of runs, you maybe wouldn't be so impressed. But he seemed to warm to the task as he went on Lampressé. Like, I thought, particularly coming up probably last like three quarters of a circuit, his jumping really kicked into a different gear, and you could see Charlie Deutsch wore confidence off him, and like he was laying up his neck. I give him a bit of credit for actually, like, he looked like he was running out of puff a bit towards the end, but like I say, he's had a year off, even though he's been in quite a long time. But he actually made all his ground up the hill at Lingfield, which is very, even for horses like this, it's very hard to do. And I cut him a little bit of slack on that front. As for being our main contender in the Gold Cup, certainly on prices he is. Whether he's done enough just yet to prove he should be ahead of Brave Man's Game in the betting for me, I would say probably not. I'd certainly prefer him to Shishkin, but I think, he deserves to be up there within the English chances. But for me, I'd still say Brave Man's Game is favourite to be the first English horse home in the Gold Cup for me.
Yeah, the closer we get to it, the more I'm actually interested in Shishkin. Do not correct your sets. Do not clean out your ears. I did say that correctly. I didn't say I was backing him, but I'm certainly interested in him for the race itself. Katie, what did you make of Lampress's winning return?
Yeah, I thought it was a really nice performance on his kind of first start back after a layoff through injury. He does have really good strike rate when run fresh first time out. And I think he's 4 from 4 from first runs of the season, and I thought it was a great placement actually from Connections to aim him there with a kind of good prize and offer, and they made the most of it there. I don't know whether he quite is kind of classy as Gallop and Deschamps maybe is, but look, he's high up on the agenda for the British squad, and his course form around Cheltenham on both the old and new courses is very good. He ran that impressive winner of the Brown Advisory two years ago, and 2 from 2 at Cheltenham, which boasts really well coming into the festival this year, with horses for courses and all that to note. Look, he has his run of injuries kind of over the couple of years. He's missed kind of chunks of time here and there, but look, I think if he could produce like a repeat of his best form around Cheltenham, he could be up there in March, and yeah, I would have him on the shortlist, and I do think he could be quite a little bit under the radar coming into this. So yeah, I think he could produce if he could produce a career best performance in March, I don't think he'd be too far away. I don't think necessarily ground is an issue with him. I actually thought he maybe wanted softer ground, but I think he handles good ground. So I don't think that'd be a problem if it came up soft or on the good side. But yeah, like George said, a little sticky at first part of his race and his jumping, but kind of warmed into it. And I was actually really impressed the way Charlie Deutsch kind of, I just thought he gave him a beautiful ride. He looked kind of like he was maybe going through the motions around maybe, I think, 10 out, about on 10th fence, sorry. And he didn't rush him. He kind of just nursed him away from the back of a few of his fences. He didn't give him a slap down shoulder, or he wasn't rushing him away. He just kind of changed his hands and used his reins to kind of get him back onto the bridle after each fence. I just really liked the way he kind of rode him like that. And I think kind of that was a big part of why he ran so well. I just thought he was giving him a beautiful ride. He kind of got his confidence up on the back half of the race, and yeah, you gave him time to get in gear, and yeah, overall a really nice performance, I thought, for both horse and rider.
I would agree with all of that. I think, look, it's a really nice performance. It's great to see him back. You want to see these proper grade one performers, and you need to see something that can challenge Gallop on Deschamps. GDC is losing no sleep over this guy.
No.
You've beaten Protectorat. Great. Everybody can beat Protectorat. Broadway Boy can beat Protectorat these days, albeit giving him ways. He got lapped in a Betfair chase. He got lapped in a Gold Cup. He was, 12 to 1 for the Gold Cup before this? Maybe 14s. There was a few very clever people who'd have a lot of respect for were putting him up as a Gold Cup bet. It's not like he's been slashed into 6 to 1. He's still widely available at 10s. And Venetia Williams was saying afterwards, don't expect a whole lot of improvement. Mm. But there's a feeling amongst those people who were putting him up, oh, he'll massively improve for this. That's not what Venetia Williams was saying. Yeah. I'm saying, like, don't expect a whole lot of improvement. It's also asking an awful lot to go win a Gold Cup on the back of one run, which
I think
is what a lot of horses are doing.
Yeah. Are they going to the Ascot Chase now? Is that where they... Was that mentioned somewhere?
It was mentioned, yeah.
Yeah.
Be surprised if she doesn't give him another run. Very.
Yeah.
Because it's not enough. Like, that's one of my concerns with Gentleman's Game. I'm convinced that the reason he's going straight to the Gold Cup isn't because of the setback that ruled him out of the saddles. You had time to put him in the Cotswold Chase. You're trying to cling on to the dream that he can win a Gold Cup. And maybe he can. He's trained by Mouse Morris. The guy's a genius. But not for me. And I'd need to see more from this fella. Now, if he goes and bolts up in an Ascot Chase, now he's really the leading British contender. And now we can start seeing if Willie Mullins gets a bit nervous with GDC. But right now, it's Gallop on Deschamps and Fast or Slow with... Mm. Like, is there anything about that performance that made either of you want to go, I gotta back him for a Gold Cup right now? Katie?
Not necessarily back him for a Gold Cup. I just thought, I loved the way he ran. Like, he looked to me as though he ran like a horse with a massive heart. And I think you need that in a horse to be competitive in a Gold Cup. I'm not saying that I fancy him for the Gold Cup, but I actually wouldn't be surprised if he turned up and ran a really, really good race here in March. I think he could come under the radar a little bit. I have my doubts. Has he got the class to win him a Gold Cup? But I do think there's a big pot to winning him again. And I wouldn't be surprised if he turned up and was placed anyway at best or in the Gold Cup in March. I think he might come under the radar a little bit.
All right, George, were you tempted to back him at all?
I'd say if there was one aspect of his performance that did make me think the difference between a grade two, grade one, nice, you know, decent horse and maybe a superstar, it was his jumping. Like, there were a few fences down the back there where Protectorat absolutely winged them and he took lengths out of them anyway. That takes a lot of doing, like when you're talking, you know, proper grade two, grade one class horses. He was so quick through the air. Like, that's, there's one aspect of him that maybe is a little bit special. It might just be that, and that obviously will stand to him at Cheltenham where you're going up and down. The ability to make ground at your fences is massive. But At this stage, I'd be more inclined to back him for next year's King George and this year's Gold Cup. But a horse that's had a year out with a leg, I'm not going to back him for anything more than a month away.
Ross Millar was making the point, one of the most valuable qualities in training is patience. And Venetia Williams has that in abundance and been rewarded for it too. I just can't get massively enthusiastic and hugely excited about beating Protectorat. You should be doing that. And he's not pulled massively clear of him. And then Venetia saying afterwards, don't expect massive amounts of improvement. But hey, maybe if he goes to the Ascot Chase and crushes Pictori, now we're having a very different conversation.
Interesting question for both of you, really. Would you prefer he went straight to Cheltenham or went and got an absolute battle in soft ground on Ascot Chase Day?
I'm going to say give him another run, as long as it's not like horrible heavy ground, but I'd want to see him again, because if I was to say, oh no, go straight to Cheltenham, that would be hypocrisy, and then how can we bash Nicky Henderson anymore? So I'll say give him another run.
Yeah
kind
just
of
worry how many good horses have gone to Ascot Chase Day, yeah, whether it's the Ascot Chase or the supporting card, and absolutely blown their chances for Cheltenham.
Just about
especially
to say that
he's a candidate for the bounce factor, isn't he?
Yeah, massively.
Yeah. And probably as well, if Cheltenham was the dream, would they risk running into an injury to that close to Cheltenham? If he is a bit, little bit on the fragile side, that might be something to think about as well.
I'm just not sure which the lesser of the two evils is.
I know, that's it.
Yeah, this is the great thing though about being pundits and not trainers. We have the ability to be Monday morning quarterbacks and just go, oh, it's crazy what Nicky's doing. It's absolutely insane he's not running. But then also go, well, you know, Venetia's got to be conservative. Yeah. You don't want to blow your Cheltenham chance.
We can just wait until after Cheltenham and decide if they were right or wrong. That's the beauty of this job.
Exactly. Mizor West, as we switch to the hurdlers. An 11-length win, but it's a win in a race that's marred by tragedy with what happened to poor old DB Cooper. He's obviously beautifully bred, Katie. He's a full brother to Fernie Hollow. What he actually achieved in winning a heavy ground maiden hurdle, I don't really know. At least he settled better.
Yeah, I think it was a big improvement and a big step up from his first run at Leopardstown. We've seen over hurdles. He's done what I thought he'd do here, and like I was saying, many of Willie's are kind of improving for their first runs, a lot of them getting beaten, and they're stepping up considerably for their second starts, and he was another one of these. I didn't think it was completely plain sailing for him again here. He was keen early on. I know he kind of dropped the bridle after three or four hurdles, but he did take a good grip for the first part of his race, and I think that, I don't know if it could be a factor of why it's affecting his jumping early on. He did warm up towards the end, but I have doubts about how his jumping. I just think he needs to improve to be competitive at grade one level. I just thought he was a little guessy at times. He jumped out of Mark's hands at first, and I just didn't think he made a natural shape over a hurdle. To me, he looked a bit stiff and awkward over his hurdles, and he was jumping slightly right again, like he was doing at Leopardstown, but he's obviously going right-handed there today, so he was getting away with it, and it probably wasn't as obvious as it was at Leopardstown going left-handed. I have serious doubts about his technique over a hurdle. Like, I was watching him today, and his hind end doesn't follow through with his front end. Like, he skews in the air, and his hind end kind of jumps out to the right. He's not quite he's just not fluent over a hurdle as a lot of other horses are, especially in a novice career. I'd be a little bit worried about his jumping going forward, and I'd like to see him improve a bit in this area to kind of really get a gauge on him. He won on the bridle effectively, and he quickened up from the back of the last line. And yeah, he was impressive in that way. But like you said, sadly, it was marred by an injury to DB Cooper, and that probably took the strength out of the race that it kind of held at the beginning. But yeah, I think he could be a nice horse in time. But I do have my doubts how far I can go at the moment with his jumping, and I just like to see where his jumping goes next. going right-handed, I think he's probably a better horse, and going left-handed, that might be something to know as well. And I've seen the bookies didn't really change their prices on him going to Cheltenham, so that could be a factor there that they might have picked up on as well.
The performance left me cold. Obviously, yeah, it's just a sad race to be watching, but the performance itself, just watching him back and focusing, I'd agree with everything you said. I thought your point about his back end was really interesting too, just in terms of his technique. This is such a cliche question, but does he look like a horse who's going to be... can't believe I'm asking this. Does he look like a horse who's going to be better over fences than hurdles?
Could be, yeah. He could just be... yeah, he could just be a little bit awkward over hurdles. He's probably not quite... yeah, he's probably quite... he could be a bit like Fernie Hollow in that sense. And hopefully... he could be one of those horses that do improve their technique for a fence, just have a little bit more respect for them, and he might just be more down his corridor. But I'm hoping he can improve in his jumping, because I was a little bit disappointed by just by his technique and overall kind of clumsiness more than anything. But that could just be him as well. That could just be his way of getting over a hurdle. But look, in Grade One company, he could be vulnerable.
I completely agree. It is odd, though, George, to be talking about a Willie Mullins, Mark Walsh, JP McManus horse who's won by 11 lengths, and to be just crabbing him and like, didn't really think that was great. There's also a thing I've noticed here, George. These bookies are at it again. We spotted you, bookies. We can see what you're playing at. So if you go onto the Odds Checker website and you look at the excellent history that they have of all the prices, yesterday, the bookmakers went into defensive mode and cut Mizor West from 18s to 14s, 16s to 12s. And then today, they've kind of pushed him all the way back out from 10s to 16s, back out to... He's basically pink on Odds Checker when he should be blue. So yes. Odds compilers weren't exactly impressed. Katie wasn't impressed. I wasn't impressed. What about you?
I think he's probably a future chaser. He was far, far too keen early. I wasn't so worried. I wouldn't say Katie said she was worried by his jumping, like, but I just, yeah, for a short-term point of view, it wouldn't fill me with enthusiasm. But I think he's certainly got the potential to be a nice horse in time. In terms of being a festival horse this year, I don't think his jumping's probably good enough. I don't think his temperament's going to be good enough. And being by Westerner, I think he's unlikely to get ground that he's going to want at the festival. Not to say it's impossible. We've spoken in detail about Western Warhorse on here. He managed to win at the Cheltenham Festival. But I think given that he's gone and won like that on heavy ground at the weekend, despite pulling so hard, I'd say this is probably a horse that's going to prefer softer ground. I haven't really got much to add on top of that, to be honest. We look forward to seeing him next year chasing.
Yeah, I think we kind of... he's definitely plenty of ability. It's just kind of putting it all together now with him, I think. And yeah, he's just not quite the finished article. But I think he'll get there in time. But whether it might just be a little bit too soon for him this year would be my only kind of... that'd be my only kind of worry with him.
If anything, it just confuses the Supreme Novice Hurdle picture even further, because by the time the Dublin Racing Festival comes along, we're going to have a fair idea of where all these horses are going. It might very well be that Ballyburn bolts up in that 2 mile Grade One, but still goes the Sir Garrard route and heads to the Ballymore. It's more than likely he would go for the Supreme, you would imagine, but Willie's got mystical power for that. Jericho de Repenay is going to have his prep run soon enough, so we'll learn a little bit more about him. Far and Glory.
Yeah, this weekend, I think.
It's Nicky, so let's just see, shall we? Because isn't Nico at Cheltenham?
No, he's McManus. He will.
Oh, yeah. He'll be fine.
That is an excellent point, George Gorman. That's an excellent point. Frankie Tightlips will have had his word and is like, I don't care that you want to go light Nicky. You're running him. We'll know more about the Supreme Novice Hurdle picture by the time we're recording next week, and we've seen Jericho de Repenay probably go and bolt up. But what will he have achieved? Will he have beaten a 140 horse? No. But he'll still be cut significantly. Speaking of Cheltenham Festival novice hurdlers, though, High Class Hero. On the day, it was a double for Townend and Mullins. He's now unbeaten in 5 starts for the Mullins team. He's won 4 consecutive races over hurdles, and he's been made outright favourite for the potato race. Monkfish won this in 2020 before going on to win the Albert Bartlett / Crisp / Potato race. Can high-class hero follow in his stable companion's hoof prints, Katie Young?
Yeah, I think I actually seen a lot of stick for him about this. And, like, the horse hasn't done anything wrong. Like, he's won, what, four on the bounce now, I think, is it? Four or five on the bounce? Like, going into Cheltenham with that next to your name, like, is pretty good. Look, I thought he did. I thought he ran well on the day. I thought it was a nice performance. I think he justified favouritism here for the Albert Bartle after this. There's nothing else really that's popping up my mind for that race. I don't think the race conditions on the day suited him. Like, they went a very steady, sedate pace, which would not have suited him at all. I thought he looked a little bit keen in behind and Paul's hands on that ground in testing conditions like that would not have played into his favour at all. I thought his jumping was pretty good. I think his jumping will actually improve more and will be seen to better effect over a stronger run race. I think he only made one bad mistake. I think that was at third last. He just took a little bit of a guess at it and was just a bit novice-y. But apart from that, pretty much foot perfect. I think second last as well, did he make a mistake? But that was just novice-y errors, and he didn't lose any momentum or ground at either of them. And yeah, I thought very, very impressive performance on the day. Yeah, I couldn't really pick out much flaws out of him. I still think there's more to come from him, and I think he's improving with every run. And I think he's everything you want for that race. Like, he's obviously kind of, they obviously don't think he's going to be, you know, he doesn't show much gears at home because they haven't ran him over a trip less than 2.5. So that kind of shows to me that they probably have, like, they obviously think he's an out-and-out stayer. So, yeah, Tremel, Albert Bartlett for me now would be, yeah, he'd be on the high on the pecking order for me.
I have a horrible record in the potato race. An absolutely shocking record. I'm pretty certain, well, seeing as the only horse that I can remember backing to win this race in the last 10 years that actually did so. Well, yeah, thanks for reminding me about that. You know what, every now and again when you're going down through the form for a big Saturday race, you'll see one of your old friends who you thought was capable of winning a grade one novice hurdle or a grade one novice chase, who's now running in a handicap, and your thought process is going to be, oh man, you turned out to be quite disappointing. And that's not what happened. You got it wrong. That horse was never that good in the first place, and you thought he was. You were wrong. And just remember that. The only horse that I have backed to win, to actually get right in the last 10 years in the potato race, is Vanillier. That does not cover my losses in this race in the last 10 years. I think this is worth mentioning. 33-1, 14-1, 11-1, 16-1, 33-1, 50-1, 14-1, 18-1, 18-1. SPs of the last 10 winners of the potato race, with the exception of one, Monkfish, who was fives. So if you want to go and back this horse at 8-1, be my guest. I'm not going to tell you not to, but that's a race that I will be holding mad tough on until the week before, and I'll be buried in the form book, buried in the Wetherby's Cheltenham Festival betting guide trends and statistics that Paul Ferguson will have done. He'll have been on the Final Furlong podcast in the meantime, talking about all of that and the various different form. This is a nightmare of a race to try and work out, and you want to tilt at something at a big price. He's not, so I'll be taking him on, but I can certainly see the case from George. I like him a lot. I think he's got a bright future, and he looks like a potato race horse.
Yeah, but what I liked about him was seeing sort of two from home, he sort of snapped back on the bridle, which sort of says to me, really, even this is probably his minimum trip. You know, I think he'll definitely improve for a step up to 3 miles. Being a son of Sulemani, you would think that would be the case. Like, he generally produces staying chasers, doesn't he? Potterman, Copperhead, Rule the World. We just won't talk about Honeysuckle.
Wasn't she the only one that was actually an elite 2-miler for him?
I think Cash and Go was about a 2-mile, 2.5-miler, wasn't he? That's about the only other speedy one I can think of. But yeah, I think the only thing that I wasn't necessarily enamoured with, I did think he was fairly awkward at a few hurdles, but then step up to 3 miles, might iron that out. Step up to 3 miles at Cheltenham, probably won't iron that out. It'd be my one concern. If they're going a good pace on goodish ground around Cheltenham, I would worry that he might not be able to sort his feet out. He's also plenty of promise. Does he interest me for the Albert Bartlett? Not at the moment. No, especially if Shanna Bob goes and wins at the weekend. We might be looking at quite a short price favourite in that race, I think.
My trump card, it was bred by Patrick Mullins. He's continued his progression over the weekend. The potato race is a race to proceed with caution with when it comes to Gordon. He does run good horses in it, but he tends to run his best novice hurdlers in the Supreme and the Ballymore. And you kind of get lulled into thinking, oh, this horse has got a great chance, but it's not really the race they target. I think they're still, he's probably still feeling the effects of the No More Heroes defeat. Oh my God, that was horrible. But what did you make of his performance, George?
This horse, sort of that form line, the November bumper he ran in where he split Spring de la Mer and Apples of Brazil, I thought at the time was a really good bumper. And so Spring de la Mer's disappointed since. Apples of Brazil, I know he was taking on Ballyburn. Was it Ballyburn? Yeah. Or was it behind? Yeah, I think so, anyway.
Yeah, no, it was. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
that form's sort of been let down, and I really think this race really smacked to me of these aren't the odd stars, are they? Kalani King, very weak and very badly. I thought that might have been a nice horse. Dr. Eggman was given every chance to finish his race off and still couldn't get to my trump card. The thing that I couldn't really get on board with my trump card here was he really found the bottom of his hurdles. Like he didn't look like he was taking much of a cut, and maybe that'll come with time. But again, at the moment, I know it was fairly deep ground, so maybe I'm being a bit unfair. But it seemed like if he was perfect, Jack had to really ask him on a perfect stride. Otherwise, he was just in the boards at everything. At the moment, he doesn't appeal to me. Regarding Cheltenham, I know Cheltenham's not the be-all and end-all. Maybe this can turn into a nice horse in time, but it's sort of shown plenty in bumpers already that I thought, think if he was going to be an awful lot better than this, he would have shown it by now.
He's a brother to Early Beach, right? And she was best seen on good ground over 2 to 2.5 mile trip. Like, he didn't look to me as though he was quite staying out the 2.5. At Navan. Like, he looked like he was doing his worst bit coming towards the line, and Dr. Eggman looked like he was the one to take out of the race. He was doing his best work coming towards the line. He just kind of, another 10 yards, so he would have passed him out. I just don't know if he would stay 3 mile based on his breeding and what Early Beach has done. I just to note that was something I kind of picked out, and I thought Dr. Eggman was kind of maybe the horse to take out of the race between the two of them.
It's just interesting that a multiple bumper winner was immediately stepped up to 2 mile 4 when sent over hurdles. Like, if there's something at home that we don't see on the track, it seems strange the horse that seemed to be showing speed was immediately stepped up to the intermediate trip on his first run over hurdles. Maybe it'll be something in time that they're proven to be wrong about, but I err on the side of trainer knows best until I find out otherwise. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There must be a reason.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not as quick as he looks on the track, but they seem to be trying to run him on soft and heavy ground. Mm. I know it's wetter over in Ireland than it is over here, but he's run 1, 2, 3, 6 times and it's always been soft.
So heavy.
Soft to heavy or heavy.
Yeah.
They must be targeting it, surely. Even in Ireland, you can find a bit of yielding now and again, like.
Mm. It's something to know, like, going forward, you know, just interesting the way he's related to a horse that wanted 2 to 2.5 on good ground, so that was very effective on both.
Have you seen him, Katie, in person?
Yeah.
He's a big horse, yeah. Yeah, might have something to do with it. I just assume being by Shantu, they're normally fairly sizable.
Yeah, but also to know, like, if it's odd that why did Patrick not want to keep hold of him?
Yeah.
You know, that's another thing to note. Like, I know there's obviously different circumstances, but if they were mad keen on him, why did they not like keep hold of him? Like, I know he made what, 300,000 odd as a 3-year-old. Did they just, did they just not like him as a young horse or something? That could be something to bear in mind. Because I assume, and if they thought he was going to be a serious horse, they would have done everything they could to keep hold of him.
I would have thought, the way I would see it if I was the breeder was, if I can get 300 grand for him, I can go and buy something that's already won a point to point or won over in France for the same money, rather than take a gamble on something I've bred. Would be how I would think of it. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you might be entirely right, but that if I was trying to think of a reason why they would have sold him, it's just, well, if we can get 300 grand for this completely untested horse, we can just go out and buy one that is tested for that money.
Yeah, it's true.
Do you know the early Beach story?
No.
Yeah, she was born. Was she the mare that was born out in the field to an unrated to by accident?
You're kind of half right. So they put her out in the field with a couple of other horses. Then noticed she was starting to get a little bit of weight on her.
Yeah.
So the vet looked at her and said, "This horse is pregnant." And we're like, "Couldn't possibly be pregnant. What are you talking about? She's in a field with geldings." Oh no! Miguel Angel was not a gelding. For some reason, they thought he was. And he had his wicked way with her, or she had his wicked way with him, whichever way you want to look at it. The horse that she produced, they ended up calling Accidental.
I'm looking at a stud record now. It's two foals, one in 2013, one in 2018.
Yeah, was not supposed to happen at all. And if you go on the Racing Post Bloodstock site and type in Miguel Angel, he does have a stud record, but only because one and done, son. Well, he had a good strike rate. In fairness, he was able to get the job done. Just wasn't able to produce anything of note. But I mean, that is such a bizarre. Like, you both work with horses every single day. Like, have you ever heard of a story where a mare is put into a field with a bunch of geldings, only for one to emerge? Not quite a gelding.
Not as often. It's more common than people who look after horses would have you believe. Is what I'll say. Not necessarily with race horses, but I've broken in a few horses that weren't meant to happen, like horses that were Clydesdale cross Cobb or Thoroughbred cross Shire, things like that, that definitely weren't intended.
The Budweiser horses?
Yeah.
Clydesdales?
I'm riding one Friday. They're not meant to be ridden, but it's half Cobb.
Well, that's going to be... Can you video that for us, please, and send it through?
I'll send you a picture of him. He's called Lynx.
How big is he?
He's only 8, which for something that's half Clydesdale is quite young, but he'd probably be 17 hands, yeah.
What's his temperament like?
He's a mummy's boy, is what I'll say. He's too weak to be badly behaved. Like, say,
okay.
The youngest of the Budweiser Clydesdales is like 14, 15. Like, they're so big, they take so long to mature. And he's only 8. Like, it'd be too weak to ride in the school for more than 15 minutes. So,
long way to go for him. Yeah. An intriguing one. Early Beach is just absolutely fascinating. I'm sure Patrick owned Accidental in the end. let's go for
breeding rights.
Moving swiftly along.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Let's move on to some of the novice chasers that we saw in action. JPR1 is unquestionably Britain's leading hope for the Arkle, although I think the horse who fell in this race, download the racing app now. Hold on, for the benefit of William Woodhams, download the racing app now. Lightning novices chase. 6-1 victory. I'm sure the horse who fell and was wiped out at the start would actually have won this race and would then have emerged as the leading British contender for the Arkle. Not even sure he'll go to Cheltenham, and not sure it would be right for him to go there either, Jello, but keep an eye on him. There's a nice handicap chase that used to be run at the festival run at Sandown the weekend before, and that might be the race they'll go for, but we'll see what they end up doing with him, as long as he's okay. JPR1 has done it. Shishkin took this race in 2021 before going on to win the Arkle. That was when the race was run at Doncaster. It's a nice performance, George, but I'm pretty certain Marine National was watching that and going, is that the best they've got?
He's more proven chaser than Marine National is at this point. I understand True. Fully Marine National's got the engine and everything, but we've seen very little of him over fences. We've seen nothing to prove that he can jump under pressure, like not through any fault of his own, just he was too good to be under any pressure last time. This horse is thoroughly proven. He should be a winner over the Arkle course and distance. He was unfortunately beaten the last day behind our horse. I think it's probably fair to say he didn't give his running.
He just got bogged down on the ground that day, I'd say.
As much as I'd love to believe that he gave his running that day in Le Patron, it should be the English leading hope in the Arkle. But I think you've got to give this horse his due. He's a fantastic jumper when things go, when like he gets his ground. And like you say, it wasn't that much better at Lingfield the other day. It was soft, but it was dead. Like it wasn't as bad, obviously, as Sandown heavy, but at least shows he's got a bit of versatility that doesn't have to be proper, good sort of spring ground almost for him. You actually look down the betting in the Arkle, and there's no reason that he might be able to grab a place. Like, Hunter Jean can't jump. Fasal Vega's fluffed his lines. Found a 50. I would have thought it's more likely to go Turner's. Gaelic Warrior, Elate Tomps, God knows if they're going. Blood Destiny's been beaten last time. There's every reason to think he could creep into the three in this race. And say Marine National, it's not his fault that he's not as proven as this horse. But currently, like, JPR1 is the more experienced and more proven chaser. I'm not saying he'll go and beat Marine National. I'm just purely saying at this point, all Marine National has done is gone and beaten a load of horses he should be over fences without ever coming under any pressure. And he might be going straight to Cheltenham without any more experience than that. So
there's no way. They're definitely going to take him to the DRF. There is no way Barry Connell goes straight to Cheltenham.
I might do.
He did last year.
He'd had two runs over hurdles and he'd won a grade one, to be fair. Like, you can't do.
The more you say Barry Connell can't go straight to Cheltenham, the more he's going to want to. So maybe we need to stop saying it.
Hey Siri, call Barry Connell. Let's have a chat with him. Let's get him on the line. Don't ring him in the middle of it. Barry, what are you doing, man? No, he'll go for the Irish Arkle. He will. He'll go to the DRF. Unless Willie decides he's going to put Gaelic Warrior in the Irish Arkle and gun him from the front, in which case, game on, son. But it's hard to be enthusiastic about the form of a race when the leading contender has gone at the first. Is he an each-way bet for you, Katie?
Yeah, I was actually really taken by him. I just thought his jumping was flawless. I when he got in tight at view, he was so neat and tidy. He wasn't losing any ground when he was getting in close. He was so nimble. And when he was meeting a fence on the good stride, he was so quick and he was making lengths at his fences. Like, Brendan was always bringing him back. I was just so impressed with his round of jumping at Lingfield. And I was just really taken by how he was kind of, you could tell from a long way out, he was always looking for the next fence, measuring them up. He was meeting them spot on. If he wasn't, he was sorting himself out for a long way out. He never lost any ground. I just thought it was a rock solid performance and a really good round of jumping. I was really taken by him. And like George said, a bit of nicer ground, probably see him to a better effect. He actually showed a really good turn of foot from the back of the last as well. He may be idle a little bit towards the line, but yeah, really taken by his performance. And I think he'll definitely slot in there behind Marine National. He should be behind Marine National in the betting. I think he's more of a solid chance than Gaelic Warrior is compared to his jumping. We know he kind of you know, Cheltenham might not suit him in that sense. So I think he's a rock solid chance coming. I think he could be under a little bit under the radar coming into this. But yeah, really taken by his performance. I know J-Lo as well, just to mention, probably taking a little bit of depth out of the race because he obviously unshipped at the first. But look, yeah, really taken by it.
Should say that the second was back, like defeat was out of the question as well. And we've seen him off, like he was very well back to the second.
Yeah.
Where did that come from, by the way?
God knows. But someone knew something.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't because he got beaten.
Yeah, well, but he ran, he was, what was he, like 12 to 1 or something the night before?
Yeah.
He ran well according to what price he opened at as opposed to what price he started.
Well, you're right to point it out. Like, it was a massive market move, but almost as eyebrow-raising as the Ilete Tomp gamble. Like, 10 to 1 the night before, 3 to 1. Nobody commented on it because everyone was talking about, oh, what's happened between Patrick and Danny? Wow. That was a major market move for Ilete Tomp with no non-runner against a pretty much unbeatable stable companion, certainly going right-handed. Just interesting to keep an eye on. That's me putting my place, basically. He's 20 to 1 shot for the Arkle. He probably shouldn't be that big a price, and put a bit more respect on JPR1's name. I will put a lot of respect on Manella Kakuna's name, who I can say it now because Gavin Lynch has actually revealed this. This was Gavin Lynch's anti-post bet for the National Hunt Chase. He put him up at the start of the season. I'm sure he was a massive double-figure price bet at the time. And to my mind, on the back of what he did at the weekend, and the Jack Kiernan celebrating 55 years in business. Congratulations, Jack. Return to 3 miles. Katie just looked mustard. There was a couple here and there that weren't perfect, but in the main, I thought his jumping was terrific. He will stay. He's got Cheltenham Festival form. He's surely Patrick Mullins' ride in the National Chase. He's got options in the Turners and the Brown Advisory, but this is Patrick's ride for the National Chase.
Yeah, he kind of looks a solid horse for that kind of race. I actually thought, if anything, it's provided a nice form boost for Factor Pile because he absolutely smashed him there at Leopardstown.
And we're coming for you, Gaelic Warrior! Yeah. We're coming for you!
He won pretty convincingly here at Navan. He obviously benefited again from that run. He had another horse that had a bit of a layoff. I do think, as Patrick had probably said in post race interviews, the fences have kind of taken that sting out of his tail. He wasn't racing as keen as he was over hurdles, and like he has shown in the past, and he's settling much better, and he showed that here at Navan. I thought he actually put in a really good round of jumping, and I thought he had his ears pricked, always looking for the next fence, and he was measuring he was measuring from quite a long way out. I actually thought he was really attacking his fences on a good stride. And I thought he was actually able to measure and correct himself on a short stride, which I didn't think he was quite able to do. But he actually showed that he was quite neat and efficient over his fences here. I definitely think he's on the short list. I don't know whether he'd be kind of competitive in the 3 mile grade one. I think I'd have Grange Clare West over him if he were to go that direction, but definitely National Hunt Chase route, he'd very high on the agenda. Favori de Champdoux may have to take a back seat here against him, but yeah, very taken performance by him at the weekend.
Yeah, by the way, the only JP horse entered for the National Hunt Chase is George
Corpus Cross.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you hear that first? On the final furlong podcast from George Gorman. Ignore the fact that Katie Young may very well have dismissed it. But no. He'll be dropping back in trip. Katie, seems like George worked out what JP's plan is. Did you tap Frankie Tightlip's phone? Did you speak with Frankie Tightlip's beforehand, George?
I prefer not to speak.
No comment.
Johnny Tightlips, where'd they hit you?
I ain't saying nothing.
But what do I tell the doctor?
Tell him to suck a lemon.
Fair enough. Also, he probably just wants to keep his kneecaps. What were your thoughts on Manella Kakuna?
Yeah, copy and paste, really. He was a fantastic hurdler. Like, even going back to his point-to-point days, considering it was a Turtulla point-to-point, I had an eye on the form anyway, but it was won by Grand Jury, ill-fated Grand Jury, second Manella Kakuna, third Wacker Clan, who won at Cheltenham over fences this year. And the fourth is a horse I ride out for Richard Rowe called Tommy Dillion, who we actually think quite a lot of. But he was wonderful over hurdles. They say he had a tendency to overrace, and that seems to be gone now. He seems to settles. It was an immaculate round of jumping insofar as it was efficient. It was energy saving, and it was, you know, without incident. Everything you really would like in a horse that's going to be stepping up to 4 miles. His RPR is nearly back to what it was over hurdles, and perhaps the step up in distance could bring out further improvement. And you know, Emmett, I love an old-fashioned pedigree. We've got a Flemingsworth out of an old Vic mare here. Absolutely love to see it. Proper old-fashioned chasing pedigree. You'd have to think he'll get the trip. I couldn't put anyone off backing him come Cheltenham, or, you know, even if you wanted to back him now. And as much as I do fancy Corbett's Cross for it, it certainly makes this race more interesting, doesn't it?
100% it does. And just the more I look at that race, like Embassy Gardens isn't qualified yet. Nick Rocket isn't fully qualified as of yet. And Flooring Porter, geez, I've gone cold on him. Like, he's got two options for Cheltenham, Stairs Hurdle or this. So it's novice chasing or bust, basically. He's not good enough to win a Stairs Hurdle anymore. They don't think he's fast enough to be able to win the Brown Advisory, so he's going for this. And while you can excuse the run at Punchestown, you can't excuse the run in the Nevilles. This is up for grabs, and Manila Kakuna is the most obvious one. I still like Nick Rocket, but Manila Kakuna is the one that he's just blindingly obvious, I think, at this point. Asian Master. So this is insane. He was beaten in a hunter chase at Tipperary back in May, and now he's 2 from 2 for Willie Mullins and looks graded class for a jockey who is 6'7". He's 6'4", but still, that's obscene, Katie Young.
Yeah, I think it's actually a really nice story, this with this horse and family. There's another horse of Willie's that's kind of shown a real turnaround form since joining his stable. I think he started in his career in a point-to-point field for the Costello family. I think he was actually trained by his uncle, maybe, if I'm right. There's so many of them. But
he was trained by Tony, his father.
It could have been, yes, by his father. His father owns it as well, and with his mum, I think, still. They're still down as the owners, are they, if I'm correct?
Yeah, they are, yeah.
Yeah. I think he was, he must have been showing them enough to kind of consider putting this horse, like, he's a 7-year-old now, and consider putting him into training. You know, like, they could have easily kept him to the point-to-point and gone out open hunter chase route with him, but look, this is the kind of route they decided to take. I thought it was a really nice story for this young lad. Like, he's got good head and shoulders, because he obviously knows that he's going to be restricted with his height, and he's kind of really trying to make a go of it here. And like, it's nice that his family are supporting him and giving, like, so horse clearly has a bit of talent, and they're letting him kind of live out his dream here and kind of in a view to get a ride at Cheltenham. And I think that's kind of, I think it's really wholesome to see that, you know, because there's not many stories like that, kind of both sides of the water. But yeah, really taking form. So I hope it works out for him. I hope he gets to kind of live his dream of getting to Cheltenham, getting a ride, and maybe even getting a winner. But look, kind of going back to his performance, I thought it was a good performance on the whole. Tom gave him a great ride. I thought he found plenty of pressure. I think he could probably be a useful type middle to long distance trip. He had 15-pound concession of weight here from Better Days Ahead, which might have been the deciding factor there. But look, he was the best horse on the day. And yeah, hope he works out for them.
I very much hope so too. He's not going to be qualified for a handicap just yet, because he's only had 2 runs over hurdles. Certainly a very, very interesting horse. He's got a beautiful pedigree. Tom is clearly a very talented jockey. Just as a former jockey, George Gorman, how difficult is it for a 6'4" man to be a jockey?
It is exceptionally difficult. It requires you to ride a little longer, because you have to sort of be able to fold yourself up on the horse's back. Because if you're riding too short, when you're going to ride a finish, you'll literally be landing on the horse's backside when you're sort of, if you're bouncing at all. This lad, he rides with a good length of leg, he sits into his horses. You have to accept that you're never going to be the most stylish. Like, I've seen, like, Jack Andrews was a similar height. He was riding over here. He's still riding pointing over here. Obviously, Gina Andrews is his brother. And it is very difficult. Like you have to, like I say, you have to sort of fold yourself up in behind the horse. But this lad comes from tall stock. His father's a very tall man, and his uncle Tom Jr. is a very tall man as well. Like they're I think the other two is Adrian and I can't remember it. Dermot. They'd be a bit on the smaller side, but Thomas and Tony are quite tall themselves. Tom Jr. would be a similar height and was a very successful point-to-point jockey himself, like riding for his father, Tom Sr. I'd actually say, if you look through why they fought enough for this horse to stick it in training with Willie Mullins, like he actually finished second in his first point-to-point to Factor File, well beaten by six lengths. Bell Harbour tends to be where the Costlow family would target their good horses there, because it's reasonably local. They're all based in Clare. Bell Harbour's down on the coast there. Actually, funny enough, this race in particular is sponsored by the 6 Mile Bridge Mart, which would be near enough their local shopping centre. Like, it'd be near enough their local sort of where you go to get a chicken roll, you know. So they do tend to save a good one for there, and obviously the wheels fell off a little bit after that. He did win a point-to-point over in Belclare, which would be another of their favoured tracks. It's be interesting to see what this horse can go forward and do now. It's wonderful to see the family having fun with the horse. Let's just hope young Tom's weight holds up and we'll see a lot more of him.
Yeah, it's tremendous what he's doing, and it's going to be really interesting to see if he can ride at Cheltenham and continue to really live the dream. But well done to him, because he must be sacrificing an awful lot. Like, that kid cannot eat a pizza slice. Never mind a pizza, a slice at that height.
Definitely not a chicken fillet roll. He's not been to the 6 Mile Bridge Mart in a while.
It's pretty remarkable to see what he's doing. I'm not going to make the same mistake that I made last year, committing to a horse for both the county and the Martin Pipe and then being horribly wrong about it. But Better Days Ahead is clearly Gordon's Martin Pipe horse.
Yeah, he probably is. Hasn't quite hit the heights that I think everyone thought he might. He'll probably get a nice enough mark now to be very competitive in one of those types of races. Definitely don't think he's quite up to grade one level as originally thought, but yeah, that's probably the route he looks likely to take now.
136 is in and around there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, he'll go up when he comes to England, won't he? So probably talking 140.
141 or 2, I'd say.
I'm not even sure the BHA handicappers can go that much harder on him, although he is an Irish horse running in a handicap, so they probably will. But the form at Slate Steel would read well. And he was very impressive at Fairy House, albeit he's a long odds on favourite to go and do so. But he was giving a lot of weight there to Asian Master. I'd be on soft, heavy ground. I'd be more than happy to say, job done. You've got your four runs and you'll see a better horse than the Martin Pipe. But I have zero interest in backing him right now, because again, I got that horribly wrong with Imagine and Hunter's Yarn last year. I don't want to repeat that just yet. Fern's Lock, George, finally. Aintree would probably suit him better, but he is headed to Cheltenham. He just is better going right-handed. But maybe this is his year, George.
Yeah, it's a picture for the St. James's Place Festival Challenge Cup Open Hunter's Chase, because we're not allowed to call it Fox Hunters anymore. It's a race that's looking open. If you go down the list, Famous Claremont, I don't think, will stay. If he even turns up to Cheltenham, I don't think he stays. Fern's Lock, he doesn't excite me. I can't explain it. I think the horse that beat him the last day, it's On the Line, didn't he beat him the last day?
On the Line, Emmett Mullins' horse, yeah.
Yeah, like that. I can't really see much reason that Fern's Lock would turn that round, to be honest. I'm well beyond the point of backing Sam Crow. I don't think my heart can take it. I do like the Declan Queeley horse, Rocky's Howyer, but I wonder if he's up to this level. Winged Leader's getting older. Billaway's old enough to smoke. If I was looking for an each way bet in this, I like Hittack, the Elmery Holden horse down the bottom, like beating Winged Leader in a point to point back in December. Very very lightly raced for a 7-year-old as well. Sort of horse that could improve. those would be the two that I'd be looking at for this race. I can't, on the basis of what he's done, back Fern's lock really at the minute. What did you think, Katie?
I was actually quite taken by him, and do you know, his form is reading really well. Like, he's good. He's gone.
Yeah, no, he keep going.
Okay, good. Like, his form in Hunter Chases is really strong. I think that's something kind of you have to look for. Like, there's plenty of Gordons there that have ran kind of in point to points, and they sluiced up with big wide margin wins, and they get to the track again and they show nothing. They just regress again. So, like, for me, that was kind of a big point to make. The only thing I can really pick out of him is he's a 7-year-old, and normally when they get to this stage in their careers of going down the Hunter Chase route, they're kind of around 9, 10, 11 years of age. And yeah, like, I'd say he'd be one of the first winners of this to be winning at a 7-year-old that I could possibly think of off the top of my head. So that's the only thing I can kind of pick out with him. But yeah, it's kind of a bit of a wide open contest. Like, there's nothing really standing out to me. Like you said, I couldn't be having Soundcrow until I seen what he could do back on the track. I know he's been bolting up in point to points last year, and then he won pretty convincingly on his first lap this year. But I'd have my doubts whether he could transfer that form back on the track. Otherwise, he'd be my kind of other obvious pick. But I'd like to see what he could do on track first before I'd be going to commit to him anytime soon.
Yeah, that's the problem with a lot of these Hunter Chases, isn't it? It's an interlocking form. They all seem taking turns to beat each other a little bit. Mm. That's just, I say, he's won his races, Fernslock, and it does appeal to me backing a younger horse in this race. But I just can't get over. Let's say, like, for example, where I was thinking with It's on the Line, that he beat Fern's Lock. Rocky's Howier beat him in a point, beat It's on the Line back in May in a point to point.
Yeah, but like, he was given It's on the Line £7.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
down where he was only beaten half a length, so probably off level weights or near enough to know.
Yeah,
he probably reversed that form. So I think that would be strong enough for me anyway to be going forward with him at the moment. But yeah, interesting kind of race.
I got brand new broadband today from the good folks at Three. Three, your ideal mobile service provider. It's supposed to be 5G. It doesn't have 5G. And I just got knocked off this thing again on the brand new super fast Three broadband. Look, there's going to be plenty for us to get stuck into on Monday's show, and Katie and George will be back as we review all the action from Katie Young, George Gorman, and myself. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. If you haven't hit the like button, smash it now. Hopefully you liked what we just did on this show. And if you haven't yet, hit the subscribe button. Hopefully you've liked what we've done and you'd like to hear more of it, in which case, subscribe now on the Final Furlong Podcast on YouTube and your various different podcast apps. From all of us, be safe, be well, look after yourself and each other. God bless.